I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. Each week we hear from company chiefs and analysts about profound changes facing investors. We've heard from Disney's Bob Iger about the future of movies and theme parks, CVS's Larry Merlo about stores providing more health services, and Ford's Jim Hackett about how the pandemic might change the car business. Subscribe to Barron's Streetwise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your Tech News Briefing for Tuesday, June 16th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Some of the biggest names in tech have announced that they won't be selling facial recognition software to law enforcement. We're talking about Amazon, Microsoft, and IBM. But that doesn't mean police aren't going to be using the technology. Our reporter, Jared Counsell, will break this down for us after these headlines. Lawyers for Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos have indicated that he's willing to testify on Capitol Hill in a House antitrust probe later this summer. Congress has been pushing for Bezos to appear since April, when we reported that Amazon employees used data from third-party independent sellers on their platform to develop their own competing products. It's a practice that an Amazon executive denied before the same committee last year. Bezos is one of several tech leaders who've been called to speak at the hearing. It's part of the House Judiciary Committee's probe into anti-competitive behavior in tech markets. The embattled ad tech industry is getting a PR makeover. In recent years, these companies have come under fire for collecting location data from people's phones, which later ended up in the hands of businesses, political groups, and sometimes even law enforcement. Governments around the world have instituted laws to protect against privacy violations. But our reporter Sam Chuckner says that the pandemic has made some public health authorities set aside those concerns, at least for now.
What we're starting to see is that companies that have access to data coming off of millions of smartphones from apps on those phones are turning to public health authorities and offering them databases, or through contractors that have various analytical tools, offering them access to this data in order to do things like monitoring social distancing or determining which areas could even be hotspots, or tracking back where the people who were at a place known to have been infectious later went or where they had come from. But we're not talking about big name companies like Apple and Google. Apple and Google have, at least for the time being, drawn a line in the sand that they don't want to use the location data that they have to draw this level of insights. There's a whole other tier of ad tech companies, and these are companies that are kind of middlemen in the advertising industry online. They've been under increasing fire in recent years for building what some critics call a surveillance economy, and they often harvest a bunch of information from smartphone apps, including very precise location from certain apps. And some critics say that there's not really sufficient notification to users that the apps are taking data and using it in various ways that might go beyond advertising.
Sam says it's possible that these sorts of deals could lead to a thawing of relations between ad tech companies and the government agencies that regulate them.
It certainly shows that there are marriages of convenience in the midst of a pandemic. And, you know, this kind of information is attractive to government officials who might be able to use it for reasons that people could get behind, like fighting a pandemic, and might use it for reasons that people don't so much support. There's certainly evidence that we've reported about law enforcement agencies using information like this, or political groups getting access to information like this.
And the Department of Justice has charged six former employees at eBay with leading a cyberstalking campaign that targeted the editor and publisher of a newsletter critical of eBay. The DOJ says the campaign began after two members of eBay's executive team suggested it was time to, quote, take down the editor, and that their tactics included sending threatening messages, packages with live cockroaches, and a bloody pig mask. eBay said it was notified of the activity in August and that it had fired all involved parties after an investigation. Up next, several major tech companies have announced moratoriums on selling facial recognition technology to law enforcement. But will that actually change anything?
When the world is at a standstill, facts can move us forward. Facts help us make decisions and bring us together even as we're apart. The Wall Street Journal has the facts in these uncertain times. Get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak with free coverage of the crisis and its impact on the economy, politics, culture, and daily life. Find the clarity you need with America's most trusted news source. Visit WSJ.com and stay informed.
We've seen the biggest tech companies making changes in response to protests over the killing of George Floyd. They've announced massive donations to racial justice initiatives, held town halls in their own companies, and introduced new diversity and inclusion policies. Among those commitments, Microsoft, Amazon, IBM, and others have said they're no longer selling facial recognition technology to law enforcement. And they've called on Congress to institute national regulations to govern its use. But our reporter Jared Counsell says that might not spell the end of police use of facial recognition tech, and he joins us now to explain. Jared, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, let's start from the beginning. How does law enforcement use facial recognition technology right now, and why is it so controversial?
So I'll start with the second part first. This technology has been around for years, and it's not just used by law enforcement. It's used in airports and retail establishments, stadiums, so on and so forth. But the reason it's so controversial is there's really two reasons. One has to do with the accuracy of these systems. You know, these systems, for the most part, have a tougher time identifying darker skinned people and women than they do white males, essentially. The other reason has to do with privacy. Even if these systems are 99.9% accurate, some people are concerned that they're being used to surveil them and to uncover information about them that otherwise may not have been known. So those are the two reasons why this technology is so controversial. I'd say in recent years, a lot of law enforcement agencies have turned to this technology to help with investigations. So if someone commits a robbery or a crime in public somewhere and there are cameras that got footage of the perpetrator, then they would use the technology to essentially take an image of that person and compare it with a database of suspects that they have to essentially fight crime.
Right. And we've obviously had that going on for a long time, right? We have cameras that pick people up and then they go through databases of potential suspects, people that have committed crimes in the past, and they try to match those faces. How is this technology different from that kind of eyewitness matching in the lineup?
Yeah. So the technology allows that process to happen a lot quicker. So if you are able to get, an image of someone, you can just run it through a database of suspects and get results in minutes. The other aspect about the technology is that it's also being used to not just search databases, but the entire internet. There's a company out there called Clearview AI that sees itself as a search engine for faces. So if the police who are using this technology upload a face of, it could be a suspect or it could even be a witness to a crime, they can essentially find out, you know, who that person is based on social media posts and other uploads. So that's what's new and different about it. The risk of the technology, and again, this is one of the main reasons it's come under such criticism in recent years, is that, let's say a law enforcement agency is using it and they are trying to figure out the suspect, you know, who a suspect is in a robbery or some other crime. They use the technology and it pulls up, you know, potential matches for that suspect. If it's not accurate, if it doesn't do well at making those matches for faces that are darker skinned or for women, there's a chance that police could go after the wrong person. And it even goes beyond that. Again, it's not just the police agencies that use it, but there are stadiums that use it, you know, retailers that say, we don't want this person who has been accused of shoplifting before to come back into our stores. You know, if these technologies send an alert that says, hey, you know, look out for this person, he or she is on our watch list, and ends up being the wrong person, you know, that could cause a lot of headache and a lot of, you know, undue harm for whoever that person is.
You spoke about Clearview and the work that they do. We've now seen big companies that are household names, Amazon, Microsoft, IBM, come out and say that they are not going to allow police forces to use facial recognition technology anymore, at least for a moratorium, at least for a time. Your reporting seems to indicate that might not make a big difference in terms of police use of facial recognition technology. Why is that?
Yeah. The big players from Amazon, Microsoft, IBM, they all announced that they're pulling back from the market. The only thing about it is that they're big names in the facial recognition market, but they're not the biggest players per se. And the market is made up of other companies, including a whole range of startups that focus on this technology. So with the big tech players pulling back, there are still going to be other providers out there that are selling this technology to police departments. They have no plans to pull back. They see this as, you know, their bread and butter, if you will. You know, despite some of the concerns around the technology, they feel that their technology does a lot of good. They say that it helps with investigations to find suspects quicker than otherwise might be possible. They also said that their technology is used to help find missing or exploited children. A lot of them do want regulations, but they don't see any reason to pull back right now because they feel that their services are essential and that there is still a market for it.
So Microsoft and Amazon are calling on Congress to develop clear national laws about who can use facial recognition technology and how they're using it. Is there any kind of legislation already in the pipeline?
So at the federal level, not so much. Last week, the House of Representatives introduced a police reform bill that provides, or at least touches on a lot of aspects of policing the country. But there was a mention in there about facial recognition, and it essentially said federal law enforcement officers, think, you know, FBI and so on and so forth, that they're not allowed to use facial recognition software on body camera footage without a judge's warrant. Again, that bill was not all about facial recognition. It was just a small part of it. But that's all that's taking place at the federal level. And there are initiatives around the country in states and municipalities. Some of them have sought to ban or put a moratorium on the technology by police agencies, at least for the time being. There have been other bills, including one in Washington, that seek to regulate the use of the technology. So there's really kind of efforts happening across the country in various fashions, but at the federal level, there hasn't been anything there. And just to add to that, I think that actually was part of the reason why a lot of these large companies from Microsoft and Amazon, why they took a step back. You know, they saw the recent police reform bill and said, well, hey, you know, Congress, if you're looking at doing something, we're going to wait for you to address the whole issue, you know, and step back until then.
As we wait for legislation on facial recognition software specifically, we're also hearing calls to defund the police. Is that something that could have an impact on this market?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we are seeing a lot of those calls, which, again, just to be clear, is about not eliminating police departments. At least that's not what everyone wants. It's more so diverting resources and funds away from policing and changing how it operates. As those calls increase, obviously, in the wake of the George Floyd protests, you know, a lot of police departments may be forced to look at what they're spending their money on, and some of the most controversial elements of what they're spending their money on could be the first to go. So, you know, I spoke to a fellow at the Berkman Klein Center at Harvard, and, you know, she mentioned that these protests are really putting a lot of public pressure on police departments. And some of them, you know, not all of them, but some of them may say, this is just not worth it right now. You know, we're going to wait and step back until there are rules of the road for how to use this technology. So again, this is by no means to say that police aren't still going to be interested in it. There still are, and a lot of them are still using it. A lot of facial recognition companies still have business in the U.S., but some believe that these calls to defund the police could change that calculation.
Our reporter, Jared Counsell, thanks so much for joining us, Jared.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Before we go, we know a lot of our listeners work in tech. We want to hear how tech companies' policy changes related to diversity and inclusion are impacting you, the employees. So let us know, how is your company addressing these protests? Are they introducing new products, or are they getting rid of others? Are they holding town halls? Are they giving you the day off? You can call the number in the description and tell us your stories, and we may include them on our show. That was your Tech News Briefing for today. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.